Good morning, good morning. From Sequoia Hills Baptist Church, we're glad that you are joining us this morning. The date is April 26th, 2020. We have a couple of announcements to make, and then Vanessa will come, and we will have Paul come. Today's announcements is we're going to open May 3rd, but we're going to have worship only, so it'll be at 10:45, and we will not be providing child care at this time. We want everyone to follow the CDC guidelines and the mayor's guidance also. So if you don't feel comfortable coming, then please stay home. When you come, you will notice that we have some pews taped off. We would want you to sit in the pews that are not taped off. If we reach capacity, we're working on a FM site that you could stay in your car and be able to listen to the sermon. That will be on 88.5 and 90.5. I don't know if I said this or not, but we will not be providing child care for May 3rd. But as we open up and we get to different stages, we're hoping to get back to where we once were. All right, let's open up with a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Father, we do thank you and we praise you for this day that you have given us. Father, we pray that through all of this, Father, that you would receive praise, honor, and glory, for you are worthy. Father, we know none of this, not a single bit of this has taken you by surprise. Father, we worship you, we praise you. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Jerry. Good morning, Sequoia members and brothers and sisters in Christ. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Amen. So we're going to sing about the loving arms of Jesus this morning if you want to join me. Thank you. song that I'm going to sing. It's called the untitled hymn, Come to Jesus. And I need to grab my book. It's over there on the organ. Thank you. Thank you, Jerry.
Good morning. It is great to see all of you today by faith. I got up this morning and I got the newspaper and I found some articles in the newspaper about how the divorce rate has gone up in China because of the fact they were forced to stay at home with their families. And they're trying to prevent that in our country. And so in the paper, there's some suggestions on how to live 24 hours a day with your spouse and family. And I don't remember all of them, but I remember a couple of them. One of them was give each other alone time. You know, schedule it. Schedule it where you can be alone, and in that time you're alone, spend some time with Jesus. Now, the paper didn't say that, but I am. I think that's a great idea. Schedule some alone time. And the second thing was be kind. Just be kind to each other. And I think that is great advice. As a matter of fact, Philippians 2 says, Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others more important than yourselves. Everyone should look not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. If there's any affection, any mercy, make my joy complete. Have the same love. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. I think being kind is a way to enhance your relationship during this time. And I think giving each other time, and I think putting others first. But I have a question. We should be doing that all the time. I think it's harder to be kind than it is to say you need to be kind. I think it's harder to put others first than say and read to be others first. And I think that for us to make the most of the time we are sheltering in place and we are with our family in such a length of time, we need to go back to some basics. And we need to be kind. And we need to give each other space. And we need to look out for the needs of others. But how do you do that? Where do you get the power to do that? And I think we get the power to do that from having Jesus Christ as the center of our lives. In 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18, it says, Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. As we become a Christian, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit transforms us into the image of Jesus Christ. And we should be being more like Him every day. I should be more like Jesus today than I was last year at this time. John 15:5 says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it to make it bear more fruit. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Jesus Christ, who we're becoming more and more like every day, there is absolutely nothing we can do. We cannot be kind because we all have that selfishness. It's hard to look upon others as better than yourself. It's hard to put them first. It's hard to have the mind of Christ. But if we are connected to Jesus Christ, if Christ is the center of our lives, then when we're put in this position, different than we've ever been before, we have some resources to be kind, to put others first, and so forth. What this talks about, and what I'm saying, is we have a new position. And that position is this: if we are believers in Jesus Christ, we are connected to Him. He is the vine, we are the branches. We have the eternal presence of the living God in us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, for if anyone is united in Christ, he is a new creature. The old order has gone, a new order has already begun. When we become Christians, we are baptized into Christ. He comes into us, and we have a deep connection to Him. That's why we need to have some time when we can spend with Him, even during this time of forced closeness, because that connection is what gives us the ability to do what we need to do to be the kind of husband or wife or parent or child we need to be. I just want to tell you, Christ is living in you if you're a believer and you are connected to Him. But not only that, you are a new person. You are a new person. That's what it says. I have a new position. I'm connected to Jesus. I am a new person. If anyone be in Christ, she is a new creature, a new person. Jesus Christ makes all things new. It is an incredible thought. It is an incredible idea that we get to start over. The sins of our past, He chooses to forget. The sins of our past, He chooses to cast as far as the east is from the west to the deepest part of the sea. Ladies and gentlemen, our past should not haunt us. Our past should not trip us up. Our past should not keep us from serving Jesus to whom we're connected. Because we are new people. We have a power we didn't have before. And that power is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. I love what Eugene Peterson says in Conversations. Now, for all you rule keepers out there, I want you to hear this. Rule keeping is good behavior or religious behavior that's performed because someone else is looking or because God is looking. It is living life by performance, by show, by achievement. And of course, it imprisons us because someone is always looking. When someone is looking, we never experience the joy of doing something just for the pleasure in it. Just for the pleasure it brings to someone or for the sense of rightness that it has in our own lives. There's no free space in such a life to be oneself, to develop personal relationships, to accept others and be accepted just as we are. Speaking our minds, doing what's in our hearts, adoring, believing, loving. The gospel reverses the process. Listen, it begins with acceptance. When the rush of freedom, with the rush of freedom into the soul that accepts things and brings acceptance, the spiritual, moral, and responsible life develops. When we become a Christian, acceptance, we are accepted. That brings spiritual, moral, responsible life. I was listening to a service during this time in the Woodlake Assembly, and the pastor there, Jamie, said, at the end, and I think it's a church model, but I'm not sure. He said, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And it's just so true. God loves us, but there's just nothing you can do about it. You can't do anything to make Him love you more, and you can't do anything to make Him love you less. God's love is not in your hands. It's in His. And that love comes because you're a new person. So you do have the power to be kind when you're put in a tight space, to put others first, and also to help others. This new power is talked about in Colossians 1, 28 and 29. It is He whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil and struggle with all the energy that he powerfully inspires within me. Not only are we connected to the Lord Jesus, not only has he loved us and made us a new person and removed our sin, but also he now gives us the power to minister to others. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, that includes our family, and that includes our family today. We should be looking for ways to minister to each other by his power. We should continue to provoke us to love and good works, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Because the power is within us. We are connected to Jesus as new creatures. We are empowered to do and be what we need to do and be, even at home. I'll never forget one day I was having my quiet time and I was thinking, and I was reading the one another verses. Do you know what I mean when I say one another verses? Love one another, be kind to one another, serve one another. And something dawned on me. That just wasn't principles for the church. It's for the family. That's amazing. And sometimes we treat our church family better than we treat our home family. That ought not be. That's wrong. We not only love each other at church, we love each other at home. There are no excuses. Because we have a new purpose. That new purpose is to present everyone mature in Christ. What we should be doing during this time is becoming more mature in Christ and helping others to become more in Christ. And the others we can help is our family, our kids, our teenagers, our husbands, our wives. That's a new purpose. Folks, the purpose of God for our lives didn't end when they asked us to self-quarantine. Worshiping didn't end when they asked us to stay at home. You see, coming to church in this building is a form. That's what we were used to doing, the form. The function is worship. The function is hearing God's word taught. The function is praying and serving. Ladies and gentlemen, we can do that at home the same as we can do it here. It's the function that matters, and the function is accomplishing God's purpose for our lives. But not only do we have this new connection, not only are we a new person, new power, new purpose, we have a new perspective. Eternity. Ladies and gentlemen, we should live with our eyes on heaven. We should live with our eyes looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. This week, on Monday, Linda and I got some very bad news. One of our co-laborers at Angus Acres Baptist Church died in the morning of a massive heart attack. His name was Bobby Morford. Bobby, for you Sequoia folks, he preached here not too long ago. And he was the one who preached about the park bench. You'll never forget it, I'm sure. Well, he's with Jesus today. Last Sunday, he was at home with his life. And today, he's with Jesus. And so this week, we have lived in this incredible tension of death and life, earth and heaven, grief and joy. You see, when a Christian dies, there is joy because he's with Jesus. He's with Jesus. What we sung about, being with Jesus. But there's grief because we are here. And next time I go to a staff meeting, if they ever let us, there'll be an empty chair. But I tell you something. And we will grieve that empty chair. But there also will be joy. That tension. Because he's in heaven. See, look, folks, this world isn't it. It's not the end of anything. Death is a doorway if you're a believer. Eugene Peterson also writes, "We live in a world awash with fantasies of freedom. But the world is sadly lacking the experience of freedom. Living in the land of the free hasn't made us free. We live fenced in lives. Lives that aren't wide open and spacious. This is true even in the church. Assembling people in churches to listen to proclamations about freedom hasn't made us free. For there are people in those churches who are in bondage to self, to materialism, to addictions, to power, to their jobs, to anger, to unforgiveness. But fortunately, not everything that has to do with freedom is a fantasy. There are some bedrock realities, and one of those realities is this. Listen to me. When I center my life on myself, my freedom diminishes. And the life I live is constricted, anxious, fenced in. But when I set God, Jesus Christ, as the center of my life, I realize vast freedoms and spontaneities in an open and expansive existence." You know, some of you may never have felt more constricted with these new guidelines. But I'm telling you, if you center your life in Jesus Christ, you will be free indeed. He will expand your influence. He will show you how to be kind, even when you don't have the power, because he does. He will show you how to love your family more than you love yourself. And you have the power because he lives within you. And he will get us through this time. When the forms are changing, but the functions are still there. Worship, prayer, community. And the number one community, the first community that God made was family, not church. The first community God formed was the family. And so what he has really done is, he has created the circumstances of our life where we can focus on family, where we can be kind, where we can put others first, where we can serve each other, and where we can help each other grow to become mature in Christ. And there's nothing the president can do, the governor, the mayor, or Satan. And I don't group those all three together, four together, okay? Trust me, I think our leaders are doing as good a job as you could do. But there's nothing they can do to stop what God wants to do in your life and your family. So I'm just going to pray in a moment and ask him to show you exactly what that is. And I'm going to ask him to give you the power to love deeply, to serve humbly, to share willingly, and to love your family as Jesus Christ has loved you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for all who are listening, and I just pray that they would recognize their connection with Jesus Christ and the fact that they are new creatures with the power to live as you want us to live. And Lord, may we take advantage of this special time to which we can love and serve and give humbly and unselfishly to each other. Father, we just ask that you'd protect our church, keep them healthy. We ask, Lord, that you would heal all those who are now fighting the coronavirus, heal their bodies. We ask you, Lord, to take this virus out of our world. And then, Lord, as churches start to meet next week and people start together, may they be safe. May we be wise. And may we live in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for being a part of our service. Some of you I may see next week in this room. I praise God for that. Remember, follow the guidelines that the mayor and governor have set forth. And remember, if you do not feel well, stay home. And as Jerry said, if you're not comfortable coming, stay home because we will still air the service. God bless you. Have a great day.